स्वधर्मम् आराधनं अच्युतस्य यद् इह मानव विजहात्य गोघम् शस्तादि गोप्तं नृपति प्रजानम् यतिहामनोपिचहात्यकौघम् शस्ताभिगोप्ता नृपति प्रजानम् यकिंकुरो वायदा पुनाष्टि पिष्टम् स्वधर्मम् आराधनम् अच्युतस्य यत्नाहमनोरुचहात्यन गौघम् माताजी शस्तादि गोप्ता नृपति प्रजा यदिहा मनोजहात्यनौभ्यम् शस्तादि गोप्ता नृपति प्रजानं यकिंकरो वायनाप्यनाष्टिपिष्टम् स्वधर्ममाराधनं अच्युतस्य यदिहा मानवजहात्यगौघम् शस्ता The governor, Abhigopta, a well-wisher of the citizens, as a father is the well-wisher of his children. Nripati, the king, Prajanam, of the citizens. Ya, one who, Kinkara, order carrier, Vai, indeed. Na, not. Pinashti pishtam, grinds what is already ground. Grinds what is already ground. Svadharmam, one's own occupational duty. Aradhanam, worshipping Achyutasya of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yat, which Ihamanaha, performing Vijahati, they are released from Aghag Homham. All kinds of sinful activity and faulty action. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Abhaya Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. My dear sir, you have said that the relationship between the king and the subject, or between the master and the servant, are not eternal. But although such relationships are temporary, when a person takes the position of a king, his duty is to rule the citizens and punish those who are disobedient to the laws. By punishing them, he teaches the citizens to obey the laws of the state. Again, you have said that punishing a person who is deaf and dumb is like chewing the chewed or grinding the pulp. That is to say, there is no benefit in it. However, if one is engaged in his own occupational duty, as ordered by the Supreme Lord, His sinful activities are certainly diminished. Therefore, if one is engaged in his occupational duty by force, he benefits because he can vanquish all his sinful activities in that way. So this is King Rahugyana speaking to Jad Bharat, trying to justify his position as the king and chastising those who are disobedient. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. This argument offered by King Rahugyana is certainly very effective. In his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 124, Srila Rupa Goswami says, Tasmat kenap yupayena mana krishne niveshayet. Somehow or other, one should engage in Krishna consciousness. Actually, every living being is an eternal servant of Krishna, but due to forgetfulness, a living entity engages himself as an eternal servant of Maya. As long as one is engaged in Maya's service, he cannot be happy. Our Krishna consciousness movement aims at engaging people in Lord Krishna's service. That will help them become freed from all material contamination and sinful activity. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 4:10, Vita Raga Baya Krodha. By becoming detached from material activities, we'll be freed from fear and anger. By austerity, one becomes purified and eligible to return back or return home back to Godhead. The duty of the king is to rule his citizens in such a way that they can become Krishna conscious. This will be very beneficial for everyone. Unfortunately, the king or president engages people in sense gratification instead of the Lord's service, and such activities are certainly not beneficial for anyone. King Rahugyana tried to engage Jad Bharat in carrying the palanquin, which is a form of sense gratification for the king. However, if one is engaged as a palanquin carrier in the Lord's service, that is certainly beneficial. In this godless civilization, if a president engages people somehow or other in devotional service or the awakening of Krishna consciousness, he renders the very best service to the citizens. Om Jnanate Marandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Eva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. So we're hearing the story of Jad Bharata. We heard how, as Bharat Maharaj, very opulent emperor of the world, had a beautiful family, had a great vast kingdom, riches, opulence, all kinds of things that money can buy. Everyone's interested in this material world, in opulence, power, fame, distinguished. But Bharat Maharaj renounced everything and took up the path of self-realization, and he achieved this very exalted position. But as he himself claimed, he became unfortunate, he became attached to a deer. At the time of death, he had to finish a little bit of karma and lesson for us. He became a deer, but by the Lord's grace was gifted with the memory and understanding. So he avoided all those nonsense deers that were in Maya. He kind of kept to himself and just remembered the lotus feet of Krishna and remained or again reestablished his devotional service. Then took birth in a Brahmana family as Jad Bharat. And again, he retained his understanding and remembrance. So this time he was very, very careful. Although born in a very highly elevated Brahminical family, his father wanted to instruct him very carefully that, okay, these are the Brahminical duties. You have to perform various rituals according to Vedic instruction. There's so many rules and regulations which govern us in this world as human beings. But Jad Bharata, he didn't want to have anything to do with it because he knew that most people in this world are only interested in sense gratification. They're only interested out of false ego, how to become happy in illusion. Just like the animal that goes in the desert looking for happiness, but the mirage keeps going further and further and further until the heat and exhaustion kill the animal. So Jad Bharat, he was performing pastimes, as we heard, how the dacoits took him, wanting to offer him as a human animal sacrifice to a Bhadrikali. And Bhadrikali did not like that, so she immediately retaliated by killing all the rascals and fools who are not utilizing the purpose of the scripture for self-realization or devotional service, but only for sense gratification. So here again, Jad Bharat, while guarding the agricultural field after his father passed away, and his mother, she also followed her husband's demise, all the stepbrothers were abusing Jad Bharat, but he didn't care. He was self-realized soul. He was simply meditating on the lotus feet of the Lord, the absolute truth. So somehow or other, the palanquin of King Rahugana needed one more carrier. So they bring Jad Bharat, and being a self-realized soul, he was very cautious not to step on the ants or living entities. So he was walking in a very non-smooth way. So the king became a little sarcastic. He was chastising, why you're carrying this palanquin in such a way. And so after chastising Jad Bharata explained to him that although you're thinking yourself to be the king and you're the master, and I am simply the palanquin carrier, the servant, all these distinctions are temporary. Everything in this world is temporary. Maybe in this lifetime you are the king, I am the servant. Next lifetime I may be the king and you may be the servant. Actually, this entire material world was created by the Lord for the purpose of the living entities to try to enjoy separately in this kingdom. So we're given senses, working senses, and we're given a mind, intelligence, and we're changing forms from one life to another, in this form, in that form, from the higher planets to the lower planets. But the king is making a point here that although you're saying that my position is a king, that there's some responsibility, just like a father or parent has responsibility and duty to train his children or dependents how to become God conscious according to Vedic civilization. This is the duty of the parent, of the guru, of the guardian. But unfortunately, today's leaders, today's kings and presidents, they're simply interested in power and land. Just like we have examples of World War I, World War II, this war, that war, all the wars are based upon this is our nation. This is our country. You are, you know, Americans, you're Germans, you are Japanese. You have to fight with pride for the motherland. So in this way, people are fooled and misguided by the leaders of society to act on the bodily platform of life. But human life is very short and very rare. As we hear from King Ruhugino, after hearing the instructions from Judd Barth, when Judd Barth was explaining that the materialistic person who becomes entangled in material sense gratification, he's looking for happiness. And how has that happiness come about? But man is looking for woman is looking for man, and it all centers around the sex enjoyment. So one will work hard. He'll work very hard to accumulate money, to have a nice, comfortable place at home, make a nice home. So the children are thinking, Daddy, I need this, I need that. I have to save money for my child's education. Sometimes they spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to put their children to school. This is their duty. They think, this is my life. I have to work hard. I have to accumulate money, give my children guidance. The wife needs so many things. As long as you have a household, there's no end to the necessities. And even if somehow or other one takes up, you know, due to frustration of material life, takes up the path of spiritual life, due to the strength of the mind is difficult to control. As Arjuna was telling Krishna, that to control my mind is more difficult than controlling the raging wind. Because Arjuna was having a difficult time. Although he's a friend of Krishna's, he's a great warrior, very elevated. Still, when he was in the position of on the battlefield, seeing grandfather, teachers, friends, nephews, relatives, he became very compassionate. How can I kill my friends? How can I kill my relatives? This is not Dharma, this is not religion, this is irreligion. But Krishna told him that although you're speaking so-called words of wisdom, a wise man does not lament, does not grieve for these type of things. Just like King Ruhugina was trying to speak in very elevated way that, well, I'm the king, it's my duty to instruct and chastise my subjects so that they're properly guided. But Judd Barth was explaining that without awakening one's Krishna consciousness and helping others awaken their Krishna consciousness, you're wasting your human form of life. That this life of 50, 70, 90, 100 years is going so quickly. I mean, I don't like to use a personal example, but I have our dear godbrother Gopal. He's in Bombay Hospital now because somehow he's 64 years old. He served Srila Prabhupada very nicely. Joined in 1968, took sannyas in 71, preached in Malaysia, Japan, and all over Indonesia. As a matter of fact, he invited Guru Kripa Prabhu and the Sankirtan party to come to Japan, and they very laboriously, for the pleasure of the Guru, did the Sankirtan Yajna, collected funds, Lakshmi Devi, so Prabhupada can build Krishna Balaram Mandir. And why did Prabhupada want to build Krishna Balaram Mandir? To glorify Krishna Balaram, Shishi Gornitai, Radhashama Sundar, and give all the fallen conditioned souls an opportunity to have darshan, to have the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, jeev jago, go to Chandra Bole. We're all sleeping in the lap of the illusion, they call it a witch, of Maya. Why is it we're sleeping in Maya? Because we're on the bodily platform. We have not recognized or identified that I am eternal servant of Krishna. Gopi Bharatu Padakamalayor Das Das Anudas. So Gopal called me yesterday. He said, I don't know, I'm not doing so well, I'm just depending on Krishna, but he's lost the ability to walk. He had to crawl to the bathroom, his hands are not working. And one will think, well, why so much suffering is coming to devotee? Queen Kunti was praying to Krishna that when we were in a difficult position, when we were suffering, Krishna, you were there. Because by calling out to you, our meditation on you became more intense, more vivid. So please let the calamities come again and again so I can take shelter of you. And Gopal said, you know, if they don't come with a solution, I just want to come back to Braj, back to Vrindavan. Last night, my brother is here. George, he also experiencing that, you know, we worked hard, raised a family, but now is Vanaprastha time. Now is time to get serious about spiritual life, chanting the holy name. And even my neighbor said that, I don't like my village, I don't like going here and there, I only want to be here in Braj, in Vrindavan. So this mood of being in the holy dham, but whenever you're thinking of Krishna and Krishna's service, that is also holy dham. But being here physically in Sri Vrindavan Dham and rendering service to Srila Prabhupada and Prabhupada's devotees, this is the most glorified position, the highest platform. And King Rahugana says, I'm not afraid of the thunderbolt of Indra or the trident of Lord Shiva, a repetition of birth and death, but I'm very afraid of committing an offense, Vaishnava Parad. And as King Judd Barth explained, that only by rolling completely or covering yourself in the dust of the lotus feet of pure devotees, in other words, by dedicating your life and serving Srila Prabhupada, serving this Guru Parampara, can one get free of the sufferings in this material world. Tatikshava karunika suhrida sarvadehinam ajata shatrava shanta sarva sarabhushana. So the sadhu, the saintly devotee, is very tolerant. Sometimes we forget to be tolerant, we get angry. But then the devotee is one who recognizes, yes, I have to be tolerant. Tatikshava karunika, I have to be merciful. And what is that mercy? That let me give the holy name, let me give Krishna to others. I know when I joined, devotees were very keen on book distribution. That, oh, you'll be a good book distributor. That the whole, and the reason why book distribution is so valuable is that these are Krishna's books. These are the words of Krishna, our Father who loves us. He is coming in the form of Vedavyas, he's writing, compiling the Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes, so Chaitanya Charitamrita is there. The Panchatattva, the Lord comes again and again and again, like a father or a mother's determination to save. Like when the child is lost, they put posters up, if you've seen this person, please help us find this person. This is a natural love and affection. So Krishna, he has great love, great affection for each and every one of us. And the direction, the roadmap back to the spiritual kingdom is there in Srimad Bhagavatam. But somehow we don't have a taste. Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I have no taste for chanting the holy name. Although all the potency, nam nam akari bahudha nijasarva shaktis, tatrarpita niyamita smarane nakala, Itadrishi Tavakripa Bhagavan Mamapi Durdaivam Idrisha Mehajani Nanuraga. That you have hundreds and millions of names, and these names can deliver one from the cycle of birth and death, but I am so unfortunate. I have no taste, no desire. Also one devotee, he came yesterday saying, yes, I cannot chant, I have no taste for the chanting. I said, are you reading? No, the reading is not. Are you hearing? No, I'm not. So if we're not Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, if we're not hearing about Krishna in the Sadhu Sangha Sarva Shastra Koi, Lava Matra Sadhu Sangha Sarva Siddhi Hoi. So association with devotees means that we're chanting together. We're hearing about Krishna together. We're dancing together. We're taking prasad together. And Harinam Sankirtan. This was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's business. He was surrounded by his loving devotees, chanting, dancing, and glorifying the Lord. And there's no limit to the ocean. This Cheto Darpana Marjanang Bhava Mahadevagni Nirvapanam. The heart is dirty because we've been conditioned in this material world. The mind is very powerful, very strong. So Arjuna was complaining, many of us complain, why the mind and senses is always troubling us. So much trouble is there that I act so foolish in this world, running mad after sense gratification. And Krishna was appreciative and could understand that, yes, by constant practice and detachment, as we heard this morning by Srila Prabhupada, nature is second habit, so patience. So we have bad habits. We've accumulated for many, many lifetimes, many years, millions, billions of lifetimes in this world and many worlds. But the human form is very rare and great gift. But the reason why the mind is so powerful is because the spirit soul is dynamic. Satchit Ananda. We're eternal. We're full of bliss, full of knowledge. Ananda. We want to have this Ananda, this pleasure, this happiness. But due to taking shelter of false teachers, false gurus, misguided by the activities of the sense gratifiers, we think this is what everyone's doing. I should do it too. Everyone's looking for sense. Everyone's working hard. Everyone's envious. Everyone's cheating. So I should also do dog eat dog world. You know, one's trying to dominate the other. It's like that yellow gold. Yes, people are mad after wealth. You see all those movies. The people, they scheme and plan how to pull off the bank job or steal from somebody. Even the Shaman Taka Jewel. You know, and then there's envy and intrigue and fighting and killing. And everything is for gold and wealth and money and opulence. For what? So I can get that beautiful woman and have a very pleasurable, happy life. But everyone knows that even if there is some temporary so-called happiness, it does not last. That everything deteriorates, just like the material body. I'm showing, sometimes people say, how are your sons? They say, they're good. Let me show you pictures of my grandsons. You know, I'm on the bodily platform, I show my grandsons. Oh, they're so beautiful. So when you're young, you know, skin is tight, you're very effulgent, beautiful. If the children were not beautiful and cute, then who would tolerate their screaming and yelling? Sometimes they call them terrible twos, terrible threes. They can get really bad. So although temporarily in this world we're thinking there's some enjoyment, it's just the illusion. Prabhupada uses the example of the desert. It's hot. And the sun is beating down, and the sand is burning hot, and you're really, really thirsty. So somebody says, here, I have a drop of water for you. What is one drop? You need, probably in the desert, you need thousands and gallons, millions of gallons of water to satisfy the need. So the material allurement in this world is like this so-called drop, which will do nothing. It'll evaporate before it gets to your tongue. It's gone. You no satisfaction, no gratification. But it is difficult. So we need, it's like we're on a boat and the water is turbulent. There are ferocious animals inside the water that is throwing us up and down, and you're getting seasick, you know, you don't feel right. And all the people on the boat, you're tired of them. They're pretty obnoxious. And so you think, well, let me just jump off the boat in the water. That's not the solution, because you'll be devoured. You'll drown. You'll lose your life. So again and again, we're losing our lives. Again and again, we're chasing the same carrot the donkey is chasing, that same carrot that's dangling in front of them, but he never reaches the carrot. Because just works hard like an ass. So we all have designations, but now I'm going to take King Rahugina's position. But we have duties. We have responsibilities. Srila Prabhupada is very, very extremely humble, but powerful like a lion. He could be humorous, compassionate, but also chastised like a thunderbolt. And these are the qualities of pure devotee. So, yasyasti bhaktir bhagavati akinchana. That devotees, those who are trying to become devotees, we're on the path, we're learning. We're like bhaktas. We're trying to develop our bhakti. And in the process of learning, naturally all the godly qualities will become manifest, because inherently we're Satchidananda, we're part of Krishna. Krishna's perfect. So we also have this perfect nature, but it's very covered over. But while living in this world, we have duties and responsibilities. One should not become irresponsible. Our intelligence should also be sharpening by hearing Bhagavatam, by taking guidance of Srila Prabhupada's lectures. Who here is listening to Srila Prabhupada's lectures? Do you hear regularly, every day you hear a lecture of Prabhupada? This is really important, that daily we should listen to the lectures of Srila Prabhupada, our Guru Maharaj, because he is speaking the absolute truth. Prabhupada said it's not, in your opinion, Swamiji, what do you think? No, I have no opinion. I am simply repeating the words of God. I'm repeating the words of the Guru Parampara. This is Acharya. So this sound vibration is very, very valuable. It's good. We should read every day. Prabhupada wanted. Sometimes you say you should read 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours a day. Stay in the association. You should also work 8-10 hours a day. You know, so Prabhupada had high expectations, because he knows that Maya is always waiting for us to become slack, waiting for us to get comfortable, that let me just be with my family. You know, those Krishnas, they're fanatics. You know, it's too fanatical, it's too much austerity. You know, who knows, maybe Krishna doesn't exist, you know. They're wasting their time. But this process, as George Harrison said, the proof of the pudding is in the eating. That means that by chanting the holy name, by hearing about the glories of the Lord, by staying in the association of devotees, and by giving up the bad habits, that sadhu sangha, anartha nivritti, bhajana kriya, this, you know, all the anarthas, the bad habits which we've brought upon ourselves for many, many years will get dissolved. And the realization, this is raja vidya raja guyam pavitram idam uttamam prakyashavam gunam dharmyam shushukam kartamavyayam. King of education, the purest knowledge, the perfection of religion, it's realized. It's not something that you just have to speculate or just have false or blind faith. This is realized knowledge. It is everlasting and joyfully performed. So this Raja Vidya, this king of education, is available to us, but we're not seeing the treasure that we have. Well, many of you are seeing, because you're here in Bhagavatam class, you're here in Sri Vrindavan Dham, and you are rendering devotional service. So continue on preaching, book distribution. I feel fortunate. I still have a chance. I'm in New York on the difficult months of the year, when it's really hot here, May and June, and cold. I do some Sankirtan. And it's amazing how, when the non-devotees, those who are, you can see there's a lot of suffering, when I ask them to chant Jai Nitai Gaur. It's very beautiful. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Kali Kali Ardharma Krishna Nam Sankirtan. And we give them books, Perfection of Yoga, Beyond Birth and Death. And they light up. They actually feel like they've met somebody who really cared about them. And this little bit of endeavor, this little sacrifice by giving Krishna to others is noticed by Krishna and appreciated by Krishna. He said, there's no one more dear to me than he who gives this knowledge of Krishna consciousness to others. It's in Bhagavad Gita. So we should make our enthusiasm for preaching, and if our duty is to clean the floor, we should clean it so nice that that people will think that, yes, somebody has very conscientiously cleaned the floor. Or those who are dressing and bathing the deities, those who are cooking prasadam, those who are chanting the holy name in the kirtan. So many duties, shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu, smaranam, padasevanam, arjanam, vandanam, dasyam, sakyam, atmanivedanam. But it's all done in cooperation. Because we are an army, we're Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan army. And in order to function, we have to work together cooperatively, sometimes just misunderstandings and disagreements. And everyone should try to be humble and be ready to offer all respects to others. Devancha kalpa trubhyascha kripa sindubhyeva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Vaishnava, devotee of Vishnu. Every living entity is actually part of Krishna, so one should not offend others. This is why Srila Prabhupada would sometimes stick on the point that you must stop this animal slaughter, because you can never understand God or anything about self-realization, devotional service, as long as you're slaughtering the animal and eating meat. And sometimes someone would be arrogant enough to say, is that all the philosophy is? That's all we've been discussing is about... Yeah, well, that's the first step. If you can't understand that the spirit soul is not only the human form, every living being is an embodied living soul and part of God, and one should not cause harm to other living entities. This is a very broad realization, and one needs to come to that level of understanding. So I highly recommend that if you can read like 3-4 chapters, especially this exchange between Judd Barth and Maharaj Rahugina, it's very enlivening. And Judd Bartha, he really pours it on and explains everything about, you know, the illusion of the forest of material enjoyment, the entrapment of family life, the entrapment of the bodily consciousness, and how to get free from it, and how to awaken one's devotional life, go back home, back to the spiritual kingdom. Srila Prabhupada underwent so much austerity, so much sacrifice, so much energy to give Krishna to all of us. So in some small way, whatever capacity we have, whatever strength and ability we have, we should try to, in the same way, spread Krishna consciousness. And Krishna will appreciate, Srila Prabhupada will appreciate, and at the very end we'll go home, back to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much. Anyone have any questions, comments?